A mile-long stretch of Appleton's downtown will turn into an oasis of music with over 60 venues opening their doors to host a variety of concerts and musical performances.
The Mile of Music Festival, now in its third year, is bringing over 200 artists to the Fox Valley for 4 days of original music in places like bars, coffee shops, and even museums. Some have called it Wisconsin's version of South by Southwest.
Here with us now to tell us more about the festival is Dave Willems. He's president of Willems Marketing and Events, and he's the co-founder of Mile of Music. Dave, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great. And I like the oasis of music. You don't mind if I use that, do you?
You can steal that. Sure, you have my permission.
Yeah.
Well, third year now for the Mile of Music, Mile 3, I understand you're calling it. Talk to us about how you got started on this.
Sure, yeah. It's hard to believe that. And we really did the first one in about 3 months or 4 months. So it's been just over 2 years since we kind of launched the concept, and this will be our third festival. It's going to be always kind of that first full weekend in, you know, August, very likely without too much variation, but we're kind of trying to pin ourselves maybe a weekend after Lollapalooza down in Chicago, so we can really kind of appeal to the music fans throughout the upper Midwest with a festival right after that one. Ours is strictly original music, and it really came about through some conversation I had with Corey Chisel, who's a national singer-songwriter based out of Nashville now, grew up here in Appleton, and really wanted to do something cool for his hometown because they've always supported him in a great way. Originally, he got his launch in music because he was scholarshiped to the local boys choir, Appleton Boy Choir, and that was an awesome story, and he always wanted to give back, and so this is a chance for us to do that, and we actually have, you know, the proceeds, when we have proceeds, we're still building toward that, but when we have them, they're going to go to a local music education fund that we've established.
Now, one of the things that's unique about this festival's music lineup, there's no cover bands and no covers of songs either. Why did you go that way?
We went that way because from an original music perspective, we really wanted a festival that was more handcrafted, authentic, had kind of some of those artisan themes, and that to us said original music. And the other part of that is there's so many festivals out there that are amazing festivals that have either a combination of original and cover, or they're pretty much strictly cover bands, or they're festivals that feature bands that have been out there for 30, 40 years and do a great job. We didn't think there were a lot of them that were looking at really promoting the troubadours, promoting the singer-songwriters, at least not in the upper Midwest, and so we wanted to try to find a niche, and quite frankly, the other reason was we wanted to look for artists that wanted to come to Appleton, that would have sought out Appleton as a destination, and I think from that standpoint, we were lucky that we kind of hit that one head on, because the artists just love coming here. They love the fact that they're pretty much required to play their own music, and they all sign a pledge that they'll play their own music, and that's become a really cool feature of the festival.
So if they start playing a cover, they get the hook, huh?
Right, we just tackle them. No, it's one of those things where it really, they're all 50-minute sets, so they're not even an hour, and it's very similar to other multi-venue festivals where they maybe range in sets from 30 to 50 to an hour, hour and 10 minutes long. We have that 50-minute spot, so the artists we bring in all have typically produced a CD or an album, maybe two or three, in some cases like Charlie Parr from Duluth, 12 or 13, you know, so it's they all have enough material to play that 50 minutes and to really play their stuff that they know gets the crowd excited and gets the crowd interested. One of the things that, one of the hallmarks we've had so far that I feel very proud about is we pay all the artists something who come here, and we also give them a hotel room, some lodging, and we give them some nice food and drink while they're here as part of the artist lounge. But above all, they really sell a lot of their merchandise when they're here, and as you know, for artists, that's really important.
You've got around 800, I think, live performances scheduled over the next few days. So this is a horrible question to ask you. What artists and bands are you personally really excited to catch their set?
Sure, I thought you were going to say, what are you doing an interview? No, I'm just kidding. But it's about 770 that we ended up settling in at, so we didn't quite hit the 800 mark. We feel terrible. We put that on the poster. No, I'm just kidding. But it has been a busy time, obviously, and from an artist perspective, we get asked that question a lot, and I just got asked that question last night by someone, actually, and there are several. We have bands coming from 21 or 22 states, I believe. There's some great bands right here from Wisconsin, so I would pepper mine by saying somebody like a Delta Routine from Milwaukee. I love that band. They're pretty pretty much a straight-ahead rock band. I'm going to definitely try to catch them. But when you look outside the state, there's a duo called Brother O' Brother from Ohio that just really sounds like it's about five or six people in the band. They're really good. And we have a solo act that plays about four different instruments. He plays three different drums. He's called the Suitcase Junk, and his name is Matt Lorenz. He's from Boston. And he's actually playing our debut show tonight, which is the first song show, which is a sampling of several artists. And he's playing that at the PAC tonight, and then the festival starts tomorrow. But the Suitcase Junket will definitely be someone I'll have on my list.
Now, there was an opinion piece in the Appleton Post-Crescent that ran this weekend about the Mile of Music, and there's a quote from it I want to read here. It was, "No matter whether you're actually going to Mile of Music, no matter what you think of it, there's one thing that can't be denied. The festival has absolutely transformed this town." So with that in mind, what kind of change have you seen in Appleton because of Mile of Music, and what do you see as the future possibilities?
Well, that's a great question. We felt going into it, and you have these ideas, and even if it's a big idea or even sometimes the small ideas, you're looking for some sort of result. And one of our thoughts was if we could have a great event that served the creative economy, that pushed both the creative side and the economic side, that would be great. But the other piece of it was if we could just kind of be that activity that maybe served as a catalyst, that kind of popped open the can a little bit and let some other great ideas come out. We have some pretty impressive artists here in the Appleton Fox Cities area, largely because of Lawrence University, largely because of a number of folks who settled here who love the community for an awful lot of reasons. And really, this was a chance to start to give them a little bit of voice and give them a little bit of face, and that's what's happened. We've had some really cool spin-off-type art programs that are starting here. Some of the venues are now starting to invest in equipment and starting to do their own live music, live original music. And quite frankly, as we go along here, perfectly fine if it's live original or live cover music. It's just going to be an opportunity for more musicians to have a chance to make their way to Appleton or even just to settle in here to Appleton to make this their home.
Another focus, I understand, of Mile of Music is to get people not just listening to music but playing music too. Can you tell us about that side of the effort?
Yeah, that's been a cool thing. That's really important to Corey. He, he started here. It wasn't always easy to launch your career from Appleton. It's a pretty rare story to be able to have done that and to be able to pack houses here and then to take that and parlay that into a record deal. He wants to make that an easier process for some of the talent we have here, and not just Appleton in the Fox Cities, but Northeast Wisconsin. We're doing some things in Green Bay. We're doing some things down in Oshkosh. The goal is to work with our youth to do some things. There's a facility that he's developing called The Refuge, which is an old monastery, friar's house, that we're going to be using for developing, teens and other singer-songwriters who want to come out there, and they're going to spend like a month out there doing some work with existing artists, all sponsored and funded by local business people who want to support that. We've already had two youth out there. One of our sponsors last year did a Tundraland Home Improvements, did a really cool event with a singing in the shower activity, and from that they ended up sponsoring youth who has been spending the year playing guitar and learning guitar, and he's going to be at one of our debut shows playing along with Corey, actually. So it's going to be a cool thing that way.
Well, Dave, thanks so much. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Thank you very much.
That was Dave Willems, co-founder of Mile of Music, which kicks off tomorrow in Appleton. And we're going to go out now to the news with some music from one of the bands that's going to be playing Mile of Music. This is Oshkosh's The Traveling Suitcase from their recent appearance on our Friday music series, Setlist.
Stay not so late. Oh.